When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to the Jillian Michaels Show. How you guys doing? So, I'm going to start this show off with a personal anecdote. I woke up this morning and I was sore as hell. And it's not funny. And
I'm just saying, welcome to the world.
Oh, no, I'm going to rope you into this in just a second. But I was sore as hell. And I mean, like, not like, wow, what a good workout sore. Like, ooh, my back hurts kind of sore. And that pisses me off because I'm not 100. I'm 36. And in the course of this week, I also, was reading this article about centurions, people that are living to 100, and how with the advance of modern technology, we have the first person on the planet right now who's going to live to be 200.
What?
And I swear, dude, think times are changing. Okay. Yeah. It's not going to be you or me, but someone, one of those little, kindergartners out there is going to be old one day, real old. And the reality is that when I think about that, I think, like, on one hand, it's fascinating. I mean, what an incredible experience to see 2 centuries of evolution for our species and for the planet. What a gift. But on the other hand, I think, what about the quality of life? And the reality is we are living longer. Back in the olden days, the span for human life was 40 years. And if you think about it, it's just long enough to be able to kick out some offspring, give them a boost in the world, and die. That's what was happening. And then with advances in of course, medicine and what have you, people are living significantly longer, 70, 80, 90. Although, granted, on one hand, you hear that if we don't clean up the food supply and clean up the planet, life expectancy will be less. But with advances in modern technology, we could have a 200-year-old in the next several hundred years, obviously. So this brings me to my question of, what exactly is aging? And how do we minimize it, mitigate the effects of it, preserve ourselves in anticipation of becoming healthy, happy old people? And, Janice, again, here's the thing. So after the last show.
Yes. Do I have to walk over to the microphone now?
You're going to have to.
That was a long walk. All right.
Okay. After our last show, Janice was really upset. We were talking about some scary stuff. And Janice was like, I was getting pee squirts and everything. It was awful.
Oh, you know what?
No, it's important that we talk about this. Because I'm sure you weren't always having pee squirts.
No, it's just started happening this last year.
Yeah. Pee squirts. That sucks.
Is this really necessary to the show? This conversation? No, okay, if you're talking, you are going to get a. My body is changing.
Okay, but then it is relevant. Because.
Okay, I'm waiting.
Well, yes. No, because my point is, what can we do to avoid the pee squirts? Yes, and there are things we can do. So here's the thing. When you think about aging, there are a couple different schools of thought. One is there a gene within us that tells us when to die? And there's a tremendous amount of controversy about whether there is, whether there isn't. But there is another theory about oxidization. So what essentially happens is We need food to eat. When we breathe, the oxygen helps us, or it oxidizes our food and allows us to turn food into energy. But what it does is it creates free radicals. And without getting too much into chemistry, I'm sure you guys have heard the term free radicals mm-hmm. before. And it's like, oh, I need antioxidants. But no one really knows what that means.
Yeah, we eat azahi berries or something. No, it's true. We hear that term all the time. And honestly,
absolutely. Thank you. That's exactly right. But what happens is these free radicals go literally slamming around in your body, and they might take out some cartilage. This is, you know, a very sort of ignorant and not a medical way of putting it.
Like a pee squirt?
Like a pee squirt. Yeah, okay. But essentially, these free radicals go around and they slam around in our body and they do damage to the point that, you know, by the time you're 40, the hair loss is thinning, the cartilage is going out of the knee, the back is sore, the hearing is going, the eyes are going. So it's not a question of not eating, obviously. That's not an option. But quite frankly, one of the things that we can do, because now scientists are looking for this unified theory on aging of kind of blending these two concepts, what can we do to make the aging process not only slower, but to preserve the quality of our health over the years of our life? So since, obviously, you know, the free radicals are the breaking down of our food, eat less. Not starve yourself, but eat less. And there is less free radical damage to your body. This is why people that are obese, when you look at their real age, they essentially say, oh, you might be 30, but you're really 65. Oh, yeah, you know, yeah. I mean, granted, yes, their health risks are higher, but the damage they have done to their organs, to their body, is off the charts because of the free radicals and the oxidization of all that food. Eating less, managing your calories with obviously the right kind of foods slows the aging process. Exercise, of course, has been known to be number one, primo anti-aging because it releases the youth hormones, human growth hormone, it releases the androgenic hormones, testosterone, what have you. Exercise.
Even in our 40s and 50s.
Absolutely. Look at Madonna. Look at Demi Moore. Look at Jane Fonda, who is 72. Look at Jack LaLanne. Hello. So these two common sense health and wellness things have a real significant impact on how our body is aging and fighting free radicals. Of course, yes, eat antioxidant foods. You can take an antioxidant supplement. You know, organic fruits and vegetables are the answer to that. Obviously, if they're non-organic, quite frankly, I question whether they do significantly more harm than good in your body. But you can be taking an antioxidant supplement, a multivitamin. But let's look at the things that you need to protect in particular. Because knees are one of the first things to go. I can't tell you how many people I know. Did you get a knee injury? No, the knees just go. And it's too many decades of carrying around too much weight. So again, we go back to weight management, which is always the best thing that you can do to protect your joints. Whether it's your spine, your hip, your knees, people getting hip replacements. Under the pretense that you haven't been in a car wreck, there is no previous injury. Maintaining a healthy weight is the best thing you can do to maintain the health of your knees and your spine. And then your eyes. I mean, I have perfect vision. When I was a kid, I had better than 20/20. Yeah, I know people are going, there's no such thing, there's no way. And essentially, all that means is that what most people can see at 15 feet, I was able to see at 20 feet. I had such good vision. And now, you know, my eyes are good, but they're like, they're 20/20 kind of on the line. And I was thinking, what happened? How did I lose my super vision power? What's going on? And it's the gradual process of aging. So one of the number one things that you should be doing to protect your eyes is getting sunglasses that block 100% of the UV rays. And you can avoid it. Of course, again, healthy diet's going to make a difference, but I can't tell you how many years I was out there surfing with no shades on. Years as a kid, surfing, not protecting my eyes. Take steps to protect your body. And this then brings me to skin. And your skin is the organ that can truly make you look old. I've seen people that are 20 that bake in the sun and they look like they're 40. And I've seen, you know, 50-year-olds that protect their skin that look like they're 30. Skin is critical that you preserve it and you take care of it. Hydration is essential. Sunblock is essential. And vitamin A has been known to help the body boost collagen reproduction. So look for skincare products that have vitamin A in them. If you see a dermatologist, talk to your dermatologist about vitamin A. I see a guy that I love who put me on. I have a C cream. I have a retin A 3 blend cream, blah, blah, blah. And I will tell you, I noticed a huge difference just in supplementing with the vitamin A. Huge difference in the quality of my skin. And I have to live in this nasty, disgusting makeup on camera all day long, which really dries your skin out. It's terrible. Your skin can't breathe. And it made a huge difference. Protect your skin with sunblock. Wear a hat whenever possible. Hydrate to flush out toxins. And talk to your doctor about skincare products with vitamin A. Ears. Here's a good one. And this is, again, God, I mean, I'm guilty of all of it almost. Except luckily I am a healthy weight at this point. But your ears, how many of you guys pop your little headphones in, maybe even right at this moment, and crank that sucker to 115 decibels? Pop it all the way up. Hearing loss starts at 85 decibels. Now, I'm not sitting there. I don't have no idea. My MP3 player doesn't say, you're currently at 103 decibels and doing real damage. Like, it doesn't tell you that. But common sense is going to dictate. Make it audible, obviously. You need to be able to hear your music or, of course, my voice. But don't crank it up. Don't just pop those headphones on and start slamming and headbanging, because you're going to do real damage to your hearing. And more and more people are starting to need hearing aids at 50, 60 years old. Yeah. It's unbelievable. Protect your ears. Be particularly careful with your headphones, especially even our phones have little headphones in them now. You can go with that little earpiece. Keep it turned down. Now, here's one for Janice. Mm. Bad bladder.
I don't have a bad bladder. It's a thing. Women, the area, the giggy.
What exactly is
the muscles? It's a giggy. Okay, that's a
giggy.
This is a medical term. I know it. It's a medical term. A lot of doctors use the giggy. Changes. And the muscles change, and especially, and I haven't had a baby. So, okay, I'm just saying that there's certain things you can't control.
Not true. In fact, not true. I did my homework, and evidence suggests, first of all, by the way, men really struggle with this as well. 1 in 4 men experience a form of incontinence over the course of their lifetime. And here's what causes it. Over decades, I'm quoting now, the strain reduces our bladders to nervous wrecks. So.
Strain of what?
Of holding it. You can't hold it. It does damage. So like if you're in a compelling conversation like this, like right now, if I had to pee, I would have to stop everything and go pee. I'm serious.
Well, that's too late now.
No, you're screwed. But for our listeners.
No, I'm hooped.
I'm a little worried the hoops thing is getting played out.
Okay.
We're several shows in on this hoops thing.
No, but what you're saying, there's got to be a form of reversal in our bodies.
Yeah, I mean,
we can reverse diabetes. Why can't I?
You can do your Kegel exercises.
Oh, yeah.
You can do all those. Yeah, you can do those. But before it gets, to that point, if you here's the key. Don't hold it if you got a pee-pee. And I will say, Dr. Oz said something else the other day, not about aging necessarily, but he's like, if you got to rip one, rip one. If you got to go to the bathroom, go to the bathroom. I swear he said that to you.
To me personally? No, but I believe in the ripping. I don't want this to become the Jillian Michaels fart show, but.
I'm not opposed to it. No, I love a good potty humor joke.
No, but my nephew's doctor told him, he's an Asian man, so excuse my Asian accent
here.
But he said, if you got to go. And you're on the second or third floor. You go. You walk down the stairs and you go. You don't hold it.
Yeah.
It's
Asian years of thousands of years of putting that into practice. The Asian medicines. I buy into it.
Eastern. Yes.
Absolutely.
But it's true.
It is true.
Very,
joking
very true.
Aside, don't hold it. So if you got to go number one, you got to go number two, or you got to pass some wind, do it. Do not hold it. It actually does damage to your body, which, again, we get into digestion.
Exactly.
Digestion is also really important. And I actually was talking to a doctor the other day about a contestant that I was working with who was constipated. And he scared the heck out of me. It was a registered dietitian about having seen people die of constipation, of years of not getting enough fiber, not hydrating enough, holding it, not going to the bathroom. So again, do not hold it. And when it comes to digestion, take a probiotic, which helps aid with digestion. If you're getting older and you're finding that your digestion is compromised, you could take enzymes, natural enzymes for digestion over the counter. Biogest is one that I like. Hydrate and get enough fiber. make sure you get your greens in. Fiber is critical. And when you go to the bathroom, it essentially the fiber builds a platform to carry waste out of the body. You need your fiber. And your brain function. This one's actually really important because we literally lose our faculties over time. And Alzheimer's, they're now saying that Alzheimer's, they believe, can start as early as 30. And of course, becomes more obvious and advanced as we age. But you have to train your brain. You have to keep yourself alert. Read more. We've stopped reading.
Learn a language. I've heard that that's a really good thing. Learn a second language.
That is, oh. Yeah,
to train the grooves in your brain.
I'm going to learn French.
Oh, I'm going to learn Spanish.
Fine.
Okay.
French is sexier, but whatever. All right, you get the idea. Challenge yourself. Try something new. Keep yourself guessing. Play some Sudoku. Read, what have you. Make sure that you're constantly challenging your brain. And most importantly, and I thought this was really interesting, I'm quoting literally, avoid anything causing your brain to slam against the inside of your skull. So you want to be really careful with roller coasters, high impact sports. Avoid accidents as often as possible because it does real damage.
Wear a helmet.
You don't get to get it. Don't get in an accident.
So. It's true, but it's just there's a lot of times you could wear a helmet when people don't wear a helmet, like snowboarding, skiing.
Oh, yeah. Wear a helmet. Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Wear a helmet.
That's why I'm here, to talk about the pee squirts and wear a helmet.
Is this the part where we break?
Part where we break.
Okay.
And you got some really cool information on muscles coming up. I know that.
Oh. You do?
Yeah.
You went through my papers.
I did. I looked at them when you went to the bathroom. I'm sorry.
Because I don't hold it.
No, because you don't. No, you don't hold it. you know what? Okay, I know we want to get to the muscle talk, but the phones are chomping at the bit. So let's do some calls first.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Chomping at the bit.
We're chomping at the bit. Lindsay, you there?
Hello.
Lindsay, how you doing?
Hey, good. How are you?
I'm good. What's your question?
I was just wondering, I've heard so much about your fat burners. I've seen lawsuits and things like that. I was just curious if you could shed some light on that or if there's any truth to those or how will they affect me. I mean, I've taken them and I've seen good results, so I haven't had any problems with them, but I was just curious.
You know, I'm actually really glad that you called and asked me this question because it gives me an opportunity to talk about it. I haven't had an opportunity to talk about it because... Unfortunately, I've been in litigation over this, and when you're in litigation over something, you can't talk about it. But so far, three of the four lawsuits have been dismissed, so I'm able to discuss it. Now, here's the situation with my fat burners, diet pills in general. They are not all created equal. So, for example, and again, I have to be so careful about what I criticize. Because now I have a competing product in the market. So I'm going to have to speak in generalized terms or I could get sued by a competitor. But the reality is there are pills in the market, pharmaceuticals, things out there that are dangerous, that essentially block your body's ability to absorb nutrients, absorb calories and fat, but in addition have detrimental effects on digestion, that block nutrient absorption in the body, that have harmful side effects and what have you. And it kind of runs the gamut from dangerous to indifferent to potentially effective. To clarify, you cannot replace diet and exercise. And nor did I ever intend to imply, and I'm hoping that was always clear, but in the event that it wasn't, they cannot be replaced. You must diet and you must exercise. The reason that I put fat burners on the market is because for somebody like me, I'm looking for accelerated results. So if I can lose 3 pounds in a week instead of 2 pounds in a week, that's what I want to do. And as somebody who has tried everything on the market, when I was younger, in particular, before I really valued my health on the inside, and more when I valued my aesthetics, I tried everything out there from the dangerous of clenbuterol when I was a kid, 20/21, which is a very dangerous medication that can cause heart murmurs and what have you. It's an asthma medication that people take as a fat burner, to Hodia, to caffeine pills, you name it. I pretty much experimented with it. And I've talked about it on previous radio shows before I had a line of products out. And I've said, I like this product, I like that product, I think that one's dangerous. And I've written about it. My book, Making the Cut, has an entire section dedicated to supplements and what's effective, what isn't, what works and what doesn't. My fat burners in particular, the goal of those products was to create a natural supplement that was an alternative to things in the marketplace that weren't necessarily safe, that would give you a metabolic boost, an enhancement. And the reality is that your metabolism is the entire hormone, how do I explain this? Your entire biochemistry. That's what your metabolism in it is. And there are things that you can do and things that you can take, behaviors and foods that will enhance metabolism, period. It's really that simple, especially when you do them or take them in a proper way. So caffeine, for example, caffeine is a fat burner, period. But the way that you take your caffeine is really important. So if you go over 400 milligrams a day, you start to release cortisol, you start to tax your adrenals, and that's actually going to be detrimental to your metabolism. But when you take up to 400 milligrams a day, it mobilizes fat stores, it helps with insulin resistance, it improves cognitive function. There are some studies out there that suggest it fights pancreatic cancer, but it's also not about, okay, I took a cup of coffee. It doesn't really work that way because coffee is a heavily pesticide-laden crop. There's a supplement called guarana, which breaks down in the body a little bit differently than caffeine, which is water-soluble. So instead of getting the crash from caffeine, guarana is fat-soluble, so it takes a longer period of time and it's a steadier release within the system. So the bottom line is that you have to do research. You have to empower yourself. Look at the ingredients in the product and then educate yourself about what they do. My products are vitamin C and caffeine for the most part, to sort of simplify it a little bit. And vitamin C inhibits cortisol production, which in essence helps get belly fat off, boosts metabolism. And there's more to it, but my here's the parting shot. Ready? You can't skip exercise and you can't skip proper eating. That can't be done. But you can accelerate your results with a natural fat burner, taken in moderation according to the instructions on the label, and to determine or decipher whether a product is good or bad, you must be proactive, look at the ingredients, educate yourself about what they are, what they do to the body, research the product, and see if there have been any complaints. Because, again, although I got sued over the product, there hasn't been one actual report of physical harm or damage. Nothing has been reported. You can find all that information out online on any product out there. So do your homework on the product and then try it, see how it affects you, and go from there. Does that help?
It's more than thorough, more than helpful. Thank you.
Thanks, Lindsay. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
Bye.
Okay, and now Carrie should be out there somewhere on the line.
Hey, Carrie, what's your question?
Hey, Jillian, I've been wanting to ask you this for a while. I've watched The Biggest Loser and I've watched Losing It and, you know, every show like this, even like the Dr. Oz show. Mm. And what I always find is, you know, it's like it's the same, you're talking to the same people over and over. You're overweight because you sit on the couch. You're overweight because you exist on McDonald's and hot fudge sundaes.
Right.
And then you take these people and you give them the tools and you give them trainers and a gym and healthy food. Right. And of course they lose weight. And that's great, but I don't have anyone speaking to me who, you know, is a person who is really wanting and really needing to lose, you know, 20, 30 pounds, who's eating oatmeal and quinoa and salmon and halibut and broccoli and asparagus.
Right.
And all the right things, but nothing's happening. And I'm hoping that it's doing my internal body some good, but externally nothing's happening. So it's like you say to yourself, why don't I just get a pizza?
Okay.
You know, and I'm working out as consistently as possible, which is probably 4 to 5 hours a week, which should be more. But I'm doing what I can, and I'm also trying to have a glass of wine on the weekends and have a life.
Of course.
So what do you say? What do you do about that?
Okay, first of all, you know, you say no one's talking to you, but the reality is that you are actually the majority. And in fact, I wrote a whole book called Making the Cut about a person just like you. And it can be a slightly more complex animal because, you know, what you deem to be your goal weight is also essentially and lovingly referred to as vanity pounds, which basically means your body might be healthy and might be comfortable at the weight you're at. You're eating healthy food, which is an indication that you're probably a healthy woman. Do you have high cholesterol?
No, I have no problems.
Okay. So the point is that your body at this point is thinking like, I'm good here. I feel good. I'm comfortable. I'm happy. I'm healthy. So it becomes a very kind of almost an act of trickery in finding that right formula where it feels comfortable releasing those vanity pounds and getting below what it deems to be a healthy weight, which is usually anywhere from 5 to 20, I will call vanity pounds. If you're 20 plus, then I start getting into, okay, maybe it's unhealthy. Maybe you need to drop a little bit of weight.
Yeah.
With that said, you've brought up some very interesting points. You're eating well, which is critical. And what I'm going to tell you is that it's going to help your immunity. It's going to fight aging. It's going to boost heart health. It's going to help prevent cancer. And the list goes on. And those are not things to be negated. Although you are not able to see them, let me tell you, you will know when it is wrong. Okay. And you will be unhappy about it. So, you know, you can't see the results of that, but that's good news. Because okay. If you went to the doctor and it was like, your cholesterol is, you know, 280 and your blood pressure is, you know, through the roof. Mm-hmm. That's bad news. You'd know when you were off base. So appreciate the fact that in this particular instance, no news is good news. When you don't get to see, like, I'm cancer-free, like, you know it. You're good. You're happy.
Right.
It's working, and that is something that you should never, ever give up because you don't get that instant gratification of being able to visualize it. Now, when it comes to the weight loss aspect, you're working out 4 to 5 times a week. That's super. That's great. Mm-hmm. But you're telling me you're eating healthy. Weight loss and health, though, although they do to a certain extent go hand in hand, they can at some point become divergent. So you can still become unhealthy eating too much of healthy foods because food is essentially energy. That's all that it is. It's calories. Calories are units of energy. Fat is nothing other than stored energy. So you're working out, you're eating good food, but are you counting calories?
No.
Well,
good grief.
You say you watch the show.
You're in big trouble now.
You've been following me.
I'm going to get out of here.
Jillian Michaels 101. Honest to God. Girl, what the heck?
So,
I mean, there's your meltdown right there. It's so simple. It's a 2 + 2 = 4 conversation. So
I have to do the journal.
Buddy, here's your problem. If your body is burning, again, there are formulas. You can go to Google. You can go in any one of my books and you can put in BMR calculator. You enter in some.
Yeah, I'm over. I'm at 28, so I'm overweight.
No, not BMI. That's body mass index.
Okay.
This is to figure out how many calories your body burns in a day.
Oh.
So you would go into what we call BMR calculator, basal metabolic rate. We figure out how many calories your body burns through involuntary bodily function. And then now you would pick, again, this is kind of a long-winded, I've gone over this before, so forgive me for those of you, no, it's not you. For those of you who've heard it, think of it like this. There are 4 levels of exercise or activity in a day. Okay, just with your job, not with exercise. So level 1, you're sedentary. Level 2, you know, you're a salesperson, you're up and down, you're on your feet, you're at your desk, you're moderately active. Level 3, you're a trainer, you're really active, okay? Level 4, you are a construction worker. My God, your job is physical. You could come back as He-Man in the next life. With all of that said, you're going to pick your level. So for example, I'm a 3. And I would take my BMR that I can get off of my Google calculator, which is, I believe it's like 1,400, and I would multiply that by 1.3. So if you were a 4, it would be 1.4, 1.2, 1.1, your corresponding level. Mine's a 3. And I end up somewhere around 1,700 calories.
Okay.
So I now know that even if I don't work out, if I don't eat over 1,700 calories, I'm not going to gain weight. If I eat under 1,700 calories, I will lose weight.
Right.
Now, the pace in which you lose weight depends upon your calorie deficit. So if I want to lose 2 pounds a week, I need to create 1,000 calories deficit a day. So knowing, okay, Jillian, you burn 1,700 calories. If I go to the gym and I wear my little heart rate monitor or a body bug and I say I'm going to burn 500, I'm now at 23. I eat 1,300. There's my 1,000 calories a day. Simple math, my 2 pounds a week.
Okay.
And that's how you effectuate weight loss is basic addition and subtraction on the facts. A pound is 3,500 calories. So to lose a pound a week, you need to have that deficit. To lose 2 pounds, you need 7,000 calories. And to figure that out, you just need to know how much you're burning versus how much you're putting in, and you will affect the weight loss that you desire. You may have water fluctuations on a week-to-week basis, And you may, if for some reason, these calculations over the course of a month don't average out, because on a week-to-week basis, you could go up, you could go down. But if you're burning 7,000, at the end of that month, you should have lost 8 pounds. If you haven't and you see that something is grossly wrong, then you need to go to an endocrinologist and say, okay, I've been doing the math. I've been watching what I'm eating. I've been putting out this much energy. My metabolism supposedly burns X amount of calories a day, and I'm not seeing it. Then there could be some sort of endocrine issue, a hormonal issue. It could be thyroid. It could be PCOS. There could be diabetes. A million different things could be going on, but most likely that's not you. Or you would have said to me, I'm counting calories, and it's not coming out in the wash. Mm-hmm.
I did body bug for 6 or 7 months, but I just, again, I didn't see, I need to see something fast, or else I go nuts. I just go off track, which I think a lot of people do. I lose motivation super quick.
But you can't count, you were counting calories out, but were you also counting calories in?
I guess not as good as I should be. I mean, I just need to keep a journal and do the math is what you're telling me.
Exactly. So. Yeah. Like, it's great that you're like, I burned this many calories, but what if you ate that many calories? And the problem is, let's say you burned 2,300 calories, but you ate 2,000.
Right.
So you're now losing 300 calories a day. It's going to take you 12 days to lose 1 pound.
Yeah, it's the deficit,
which is 3 calories, 3 pounds a month. Of course you're going to be bummed.
Totally.
That's going to bum your flow.
Mm-hmm.
So now that you have that...
You're hoop, Carrie.
I love being hooped.
3 shows later, we're still hung up on hooped. Yeah, Carrie, you're hooped. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye. Okay, we're back. Now, since I am a fitness expert, I should probably do a fitness segment. And I want to do one for my boys out there. I did a little Facebook post on this a while back, but considering that I can only get 420 characters into a post, it wasn't the most thorough, informative piece of information on the topic. And don't get pissed, all you ladies out there, when I say it's for my boys, because this is about building muscle. And it's not about maintaining lean muscle. It is about adding mass to your body. So I just find that very rarely... do women desire to add bulk. That's generally a man thing. So with that said, this formula applies to anyone and everyone, but I in particular address it to the boys because most often it's the boys that want to gain size. I used to use this formula with my boys if I was training them for a movie or what have you and they needed to add some bulk and some size. This is really my 10-pound formula over the course of a year, which I think is more safe and more realistic for your average bear. So the first thing you need to focus on is how you're working out. And we'll start with how much you're lifting. Because there is a lot of confusion out there about how many reps, how many sets, how much weight. The reality is this. You need to force your muscles to fire in a more coordinated way and to recruit more force. And the way that you do that is by challenging them to lift heavier. How much heavier is the key? So we have something called a 1 rep max, which basically means what's the heaviest amount of weight you can lift with good form one time. So if you sit down at, let's say, a lat pull, and you can rip off a 175-pound pull once, but you can't do it again, that's your 1 rep max. So whatever the exercise might be, start playing with it, start exploring it, see where you can max out, and that's your number. Now what you want to do is you want to work around 85% of that weight, of your 1 rep max. And then you want to do 3 to 5 repetitions for 3 sets. The whole idea, again, if you could do the weight for more reps with that, I'm sorry, for if you can perform the weight that you're lifting for more repetitions than 3 to 5, you need to go heavier because you're not forcing the body to create or to increase the number of myofibrils. Now, what that essentially is it's the bundles of filaments in your muscle fiber that power contraction. That's why you've got to go heavier. So figure out your 1 rep max and then do 3 to 5 repetitions of the exercise for 3 sets. The next one, and I hate to say this, you got to cut down on the cardio because when it's combined with weight training, cardio essentially saps your strength and limits muscle growth. So you want to really dial down the cardio. And if you're trying to get lean mass, you got to be eating right, which I'll explain to you next. But you have to focus on weightlifting with proper technique on the right plan, like what we discussed earlier. So again, a lot of people say, well, what about heart health? Well, what about this? Well, what about that? If you're not overweight, if heart health and high cholesterol, what have you, doesn't run in your family, if your cholesterol isn't high, if you're eating clean, you're not eating trans fats or processed foods, you don't really need to worry about cardiovascular conditioning or heart health, because the presumption is that you'll be healthy from your exercise regimen and your healthy diet. Now, on the other hand, if you're training for a sport, for example, if you're running a marathon or you have an endurance sport or a cardiovascular sport, it's going to be a heck of a lot more difficult to pack on muscle. So just keep that in mind. I'm talking about aesthetics for you boys out there, or you boys and girls, predominantly boys, who want to put on the muscle for the beach, you know, the chest, the beach muscles, I call them. Yeah, for the beach. No one really does that anymore, but you get the idea. You're tanked up. You want to show it off. Now, you need to have a recovery plan. This is really important. If you're constantly pounding your muscles, they're never going to have time to repair. So you need to think about your time in the gym as doing damage, essentially tearing the muscles, breaking them down, and then they need to rebuild. They need to grow stronger. They need time to recover. And that's, I call exercise essentially the architect, and I call your recovery the builder. That's where the muscles repair and they actually grow in size and they gain strength and force. So here's your best bet. I would take every third day off. Work out 2 days, take the third day off. Don't train more than 5 days a week. You can get into overtraining. And I don't like to see a muscle group trained more than twice a week. So for me, in a perfect world, I like to do chest twice, back twice, legs twice. I like to separate the muscles by 2 days so I get my rest day in. So let's say I do chest, triceps, shoulders, and quads on Monday. I won't do them again until Thursday. And then I might do back, biceps, glutes, and hamstrings on Tuesday, and I won't do them again until Friday. No more than 5 times a week. Don't train the muscle group more than twice. Take every third day off. Recovery, recovery, recovery. And now we need to talk about food. You have got to feed your body. But the question is, how much? So here's a safe way to figure out how many calories you should be eating, where you can essentially do what's called calorie partitioning. So when you're working out in the way I've described, you can take those calories and they will be converted into muscle. The nutrients will be channeled into rebuilding your muscle as opposed to being stored as fat. So I want you to figure out what your goal weight is. If you want to be, if I'm 120 and I want to be 130, which I don't, but if you...
No, I don't.
I do not. But boys, if you're 160 and you want to be 180, take your goal weight and you're going to multiply it by. So what you need to do is you need to take the workout hours per week. So if you're working out 5 hours per week, I want you to add 9.5 to that. So now you have 14.5, okay? The workout hours per week plus 9.5. 14.5, and you multiply it by your goal weight. So let's say you want to be 180 pounds. I have my little iPhone here.
Thank God.
I know. I was like, I'm never going to be able to do this. Is it okay to take a pause and add it up? It better be. Don't be bored. Don't be bored. Janice, say something funny while I do the math on this.
I just want to know in that regime when you're taking time for yoga and meditation.
What?
She's not listening.
I'm not really listening. Eat. Okay, so you would be eating 2,610 calories. That's how you figure it out.
Okay, say the equation again.
Okay, the equation is your goal weight times the workout hours per week plus 9.5. So first you have to add the amount of hours you're going to be spending working out a week and the number 9.5. Then you take that number and you multiply it by your goal weight, and it will give you the calorie allowance that you should be eating every single day to add on about 10 pounds over the course of a year.
Man.
Yeah.
It's all so mathematical.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is, though. It's science, for goodness sake.
But who knew?
Me.
Who knew?
I knew.
Yeah, I know.
I always knew.
You're making me mad.
I am. I'm an expert, okay? That's what happens when you're an expert. You know these things. You know the science.
Yeah, well, you have an expert coming in next week.
Yes, I do.
Yes,
which
do.
Brings, I can tell that you're
wasn't
trying to wrap
that,
me up. It's obviously.
Incredible. See, that's my job.
She's like, it's the end of the show. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. Next week, Dr. Van Hurley is coming in. Dr. Katya Van Hurley, she is an endocrinologist, UCLA, the absolute best in my personal opinion. And as you know, I have a lot of experience with endocrinologists. So she's going to be coming in talking about PCOS, hypothyroid, fertility, menopause.
Why your kid can't eat peanuts.
All... And that,
yeah,
that's compelling.
That's
don't.
That's compelling. You're so cruel. You really are.
I thought my fertility was far more compelling, but
no, I'm just
the peanut thing.
I'm speaking for the people, okay?
Woo!
Yeah.
All righty.
Yeah.
So, here we go. Peace.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny and I love you.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.